Amen. So this morning, with that being said, we've been in this series, Kingdom Over Culture, and our key verse has been Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. And how many of you can quote that now? Amen. What is it? Man, this is week four, people. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, my kids have been giving me a hard time about the way I say all, but I've been adding like a little bit of oomph to my all things because I feel like we take that for granted, okay? We don't realize what all truly means, okay? We say, oh yeah, I'm seek first the kingdom. Like, we say this verse so lackadaisical. We say this so just not even understanding the depth and the reality of what Jesus was giving them to pray. Amen? And so as we've been diving into this over the last few weeks, we talked about how kingdom over culture is a different mindset. And then last year we talked about how it's guided by different principles. Amen? And now this week, kingdom over culture is a different posture. It's a different posture. So you could turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to get there in a second. But I know I've been sharing a little bit of this every week, but everything about our human nature breathes to win and to see an outcome. Right? We are all productivity driven. Let's just be real. We all have, in some way, shape, or form, we want to see like a positive outcome. We want to see results. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we want to see progression. We want to see things happen. Amen? I got a backyard that I keep thinking that one day I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to grab my cup of coffee and I'm going to look out the window and my backyard is going to look like I dream it should look. But I recognize that, number one, I'm not putting any time into it. And number two, I don't want to pay anybody to do it. So it's just going to remain the way it is until I get serious about it. But this morning, not winning, for one, means something different than winning for somebody else, right? Like, if I talk about winning for some of us, like Steve and I on the golf course, that means I won and he lost. But for some of you, winning means something totally different. Like, you just won a free ball of yarn at the fabric store. Like, that does nothing for me. But in order to truly grasp the kingdom that God desires us to experience, it is not built on the impression of winning. Okay? To truly seek first the kingdom of God, this is not built on the impression of winning. Okay? I need you to get this in your spirit this morning, okay? Because, in fact, many times, it almost gives the impression of loss or surrender. Okay? And this is gonna go somewhere this morning. So what is your posture? This morning it should be that of prayer. Okay? Prayer is the ultimate act of submission and surrender. It is a submissive state in which one says, I'm not in control. Somebody else is. And the world would, culture would tell you that that's a sign of weakness. That you've had to turn to something greater because you're not strong enough. That you are weak. That you are a loser. Right? Like, just all the different ways that culture tries to tell you when you come to God and you need to pray about that. Like, what's wrong? You can't make decisions on your own. They don't understand it. It doesn't come across the right way. Think about how countercultural that is today. Think about how many times have we lost something or someone and just couldn't believe it? How many times have you lost somebody that you just were just utterly shocked? It took you by surprise. It was a loss that hurt. It did, or you lost something that was valuable to you, and you're just like, man, you're just distraught about it. You can't believe it. It's overtaken you. It's a distraction. All these things. Our human nature doesn't like to lose. We don't like to lose anything or anyone. Okay? But on the flip side, there are times that we lose something or someone, and it's actually a relief. I'm going to say that again. On the flip side, there's sometimes you lose something or someone, and it's actually a relief. Now, sometimes you don't recognize that right away. Because in the moment of loss, you don't understand. But as time goes on, you can look back and go, you know what? That was actually probably a good thing. Am I the only one that has experienced that? Okay, good. All right, do I have some friends in church? Just wave your hand if you put deodorant on and say, Pastor, I'm with you this morning. Okay, all right, good. I'm not alone in church this morning. The rest of you must be nice. All right. I think to truly grasp the kingdom life that God calls us to live, we have to rid our lives of this metric of winning and losing that so influences our culture today. I believe it's the very thing that affects our prayer life, okay? Because we are result-driven and outcome-focused. We all do it, every single one of us, and that's why we stop praying or we stop pressing into God. We judge the effectiveness on the outcome. Today, I want to take a look at two different instances of prayer that I believe God has put on my heart for us in this season. See, prayer is our posture. It's that posture of submission. It's that posture of surrender. Kingdom over culture. Seek first the kingdom is a posture that I need to put on in order to experience the all that God has for my life. Luke chapter 18 this morning, verse number 1. You ready? You got your Bibles? If not, I think it's up on the wall behind me. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. I'm going to read that again. He was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart. I believe in this room this morning that there are some that maybe have stopped praying because they've lost heart. I believe that that is a commonality amongst every believer. We all have unanswered prayers. Amen? He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Kind of feel like that could be us today, right? For a while, it's so fitting how stuff in Scripture still works today. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, can you believe, the audacity to actually say that. Yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. All of us parents know exactly what he's talking about. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said now. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This morning, it's easy to say you're devoted to something, but do your actions declare your devotion? See, this lady's posture was that of, I am not moving until I get my answer. I am not letting go until I get what I want. I am not going to stop until I see his kingdom come. I am not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. And I am not going to surrender until I see God's will done. Amen? Our obedience this morning is connected to our devotion. See, devotion is what we are called, is what we are called to be obedient to. Devotion, I'm going to say it again, is what we are called to be obedient to. Our prayers are the byproduct of our devotion. Our prayers are the byproduct of our devotion. See, devotion and obedience and prayers are all connected. Amen? Because prayer is the posture of those that seek the kingdom. So this morning, I believe that prayer reveals three things in our life. Prayer reveals three things in our life. You ready for this morning? Number one, it reveals our growth. Prayer reveals our growth. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 8, one of my all-time favorites. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you have ever been in a moment where you're just kind of like, I don't know if I could say that right now? We're human. It's okay to agree with me on that. It's okay to question that. But I love David. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him when God continually answers his prayers. When God continues to do what he petitioned him to do. That's not what he said, is it? He just said, how blessed is the man, or in another translation it says, happy is the man that trusts in you. Now, this was not spoken because everything was perfect. I always love this analogy with David. You'll hear me reference it because David's my favorite character in the Bible, probably, because I love how God just picked him. He didn't ask for it, right? God interrupted David's life. David was perfectly happy tending sheep out in the middle of nowhere. When dad called for all the kids, he didn't come, right? And so it's like, God, you interrupted my life. I was perfectly happy sitting out under the tree, tending the sheep, and that was going to be good for me for the rest of my life. Amen? How many of you feel like God interrupted your life? And if he hasn't, get ready, because he's about to. See, when you're a child, you never understand the word no. Right? My kids are amazing. I have four of, honestly, I believe, the best kids on planet Earth. But as a parent, there's this general response, yet so vast in reason. It's the word no. Now, it's a simple two-letter word that for us, it speaks volumes. But to them, it is actually as if you spoke Chinese. or you just talked in tongues and they're waiting for the interpretation. It's like you say no and they're like, huh? Like, we had an instance yesterday. One of my kids was asking if we could stop, and we legitimately answered this child four times. And he asked the same question again. I'm like, we have already answered this three times, and now I'm answering it the fourth time. We cannot do that right now. Now, he could not comprehend why. It's on the way home, Dad. Why can't we do this? And I'm like, because I am telling you we can't. Why do I, as the dad, need to explain my no? See, we choose the word no because of multiple reasons. Sometimes that no is based on money. Sometimes that no is based on need. Sometimes that no is based on timing. Sometimes that no is based on danger. And so on, right? Like, I'm supposed to ask permission if I can share these things, but I always forget. And, you know, when they ask these things, like, I got one of them that wants another pet, and I'm like, no. And they cannot understand why I'm saying no. But it's because I understand that it's the thrill of receiving the pet vanishes within, like, I'm going to give it like 30 minutes. Like, one day later, it's no longer about the new pet. It's about the responsibility of the new pet. And when you try to reason with them and get them to understand that, they don't comprehend it. I'm setting you up this morning, aren't I? So when it comes to prayer, we must see God as a father that has the power to do anything. See, this woman wasn't going to stop until she got her answer. She was not going to accept no. And there's a place for that in our life. There is an absolute place for that in our prayer life. That I am not going to accept no from God. But don't let denial hinder your response to God. Because you see, real growth is not in the answer, but in the response. See, sometimes it's fun to just say no to see how they respond. Now, we don't serve a twisted God like that. I'm just telling you as a dad, there are times where I'm like, no. And they just look at me like sideways, like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, and even like, there's these moments where I'm like, nah. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because I just want to say no for once. Like, it just feels good. Because real growth is not in the answer, but in the response. Think about this morning. If anyone could easily grumble with God, it's David. If anybody had a right to be like, God, are you kidding me right now? It's David. Look at all of the things. I don't have time to go through all of the scenarios that David went through just because God thought that he would make a good king. Right? And he's running for his life continually because God interrupted him herding sheep and said, you're going to make a great king one day. But by the way, on the path to the throne room, I'm going to go ahead and take you through hell. Is that okay to say in church this morning? Because that's pretty much what he went through to try to get to that place that he could be who God said he'd be great at being. But David had to learn that there were some things that he had to go through. There were things that he had to experience. There was moments where God said no when he didn't understand, when he's standing over Saul and he had an opportunity to take the very man that was up against him. He had the very opportunity to take his life and God said no. How many times in your life have you been standing over a situation and you've been begging God to change the scenario and the circumstances, and you feel like all God is saying is no? That's what reveals our growth, is how do we respond in those moments? I think David is so beautiful because even in the midst of these obstacles and this adversity, David allowed it to draw him closer to God instead of pushing him away from God. A real sign of growth in a believer's life is when our pursuit is not hindered by the outcome. I'm going to tell you today that there are always going to be things in your pursuit of God that will not go as expected. But that's the real sign in your growth, which is how David could declare that the Lord is good because of the growth that he had experienced. Think about that for a moment. For David to be able to stand, say, happy is he that trusts in the Lord. Number two, prayer reveals our faith. Prayer reveals our faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. We read Romans 12, 2 when we were talking about our mindset. It says to renew your minds. But verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto who? Unto me, unto you, unto every man that is among you, among every single one of us, through the grace that is given to every single one of us, not to think of himself more highly. In our world today, we got a lot of people that make a lot of money that think very high of themselves, and they think that because they have money, they have the right opinion. That's why I don't watch sports anymore. For I say, through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. This morning, how many times have you found yourself questioning your faith? Or possibly question why God moves in what seems like greater ways in other lives instead of yours? Clearly, I don't have the faith that they have because God is not responding or moving like he's moving in somebody else's life. But see, prayer reveals our faith. This woman didn't care that this wicked, authoritarian person denied everybody else's requests. I am not moving until you respond. I am not moving until you grant me my request. That is the faith that God calls us to have. That I am not going to move. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I hear. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? And he used sight, but I'm gonna give you something this morning. It wasn't just sight. What he was saying is, you are called to walk by faith, not by your carnal, fleshly senses. Okay? When you pray, when you seek God, when you come after God, when you desire God, when you chase after God, when you seek first the kingdom of God, you cannot be governed by your senses. Our world, we live in a feel-good world right now, don't we? But God calls us to walk by faith and not our feelings. God calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? So it can easily become a feeling of maybe I don't have as much faith. But the reality is this. We all have the same measure. There's not a single person in this room that has more than somebody else. I always joke that I'm his favorite and he gave me something he didn't give you. Because that's what we do, isn't it? All my kids try to argue over who's the favorite. It just goes with being a kid. And I'm going to tell you today that I still think I am God's favorite. That he has given me something that you don't have. But that's a lie. Because the Bible says right here that he has given to every single one of us the same measure. He leaves the ball in our court. What are you going to do with what God has given you? The reality is this, we all have the same. It's what we do with it. That woman was not going to let go until she got her answer. That is kingdom pursuit. For me, as a father, my kids get this. They have no concept of cost or responsibility. They just ask until they get what they want. They push until we break. I'm going to say that again. They push until we break. Do not tell them I said that, but they push until we break. They push until somebody pray for me. No, I'm kidding. Grace is the best. Like, if she needs something, she will not stop. She is unrelenting in her desire for anything. Like, I don't care if it's that her blanket isn't covering her toes just right in her bed because she moved, but she will yell, huh, at the top of her lungs from her bedroom. You'll yell, go to bed. But. Stop. But. We're not coming back there. Do it yourself. But. I'm like, she won't let up. She won't stop. And I'm like, there gets to be this point where you break. And you're like, she deserves to win because it's been a half hour. I knew that was coming. But I believe that's the heart of the Father. Now, I can remember this. I don't remember what kid this was. But I remember one time we were out and they wanted me to get something. And I said, we can't buy that. We don't have the money. And I mean, instantly, one of them said, but you got a card. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, just because I got this card and I just swipe it does not mean that I can spend money. But they were just so quick to be like, just swipe the card, Dad. That's why the Bible says that we are to come to the Father like a child. Because a child does not understand. And a child will not stop until they get what they want. And yes, as a parent, it is my job to teach them. I'm having fun this morning, trust me. They don't get everything they want. Right, Jake? Gosh. No lunch. Unless somebody else pays for it. But it's my job as a dad to teach them, to instruct them, to protect them, just as it is our Father in heaven. And I believe so many times our prayers miss it because we don't understand and we forget that God is our Father. And that He loves us unconditionally. And that He desires to meet every need of our lives. But there are times where He doesn't give us what we request, not because He's a wicked and unloving Father, but because even greater His love for us. See, faith is declaring what isn't apparent before it's a reality. Faith is declaring what isn't apparent before it's a reality. I'm declaring some things that I see, even though I don't see them right now. I am asking God for things, even though I don't see them now, I still confess as if they are now. Amen. That is just like somebody putting Spam on my plate. I call it steak. I'm being silly, but that's what faith is. Thank you, Lord, for what you have. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given. Father, I thank you. It may not look like this right now, but this is what I see. Father, I thank you. I'm not letting go until I see what you put in my heart. I'm not letting go until your promise is fulfilled. This morning, faith is declaring the promise in the Word of God is more real than the circumstance you are in. See, David said, I am going to declare the promise in spite of the circumstance I am in. And there are some of us, because our prayers have gone on unanswered, we have a hard time declaring the promises because of the situations we're in. But I'm here to tell you this morning, stop allowing the circumstance and the situation to affect what you declare by faith. Happy is he who trusts in the Lord. Amen? My last one for you this morning. It reveals our obedience. Our prayers reveal our obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7. In the days of his flesh, speaking of Jesus, says he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. But although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. This is not an easy thing to share with you this morning. When you look at the life of Jesus, if anyone should have never experienced a loss or an unanswered prayer, it was him. If Jesus prayed what we would call an unanswered prayer, you better believe that we are going to. But I submit to you this morning, we cannot allow ourselves to focus on what God isn't answering and focus on our obedience. Think about this morning. Jesus knew what was on the other side of his suffering. Think about this for a moment this morning. Jesus knew what was on the other side of his suffering. And still asked the Father to withhold the suffering from him. Jesus was fully aware of his purpose on the earth, yet fully man. This reveals how fleshly Jesus was in this moment. And how powerful pain is. This morning, pain is real. Suffering is real. And no one enjoys it. But obedience says, your kingdom come and your will be done. See, Jesus recognized it was his obedience that would set people free. And there was no greater sacrifice than his complete obedience. Because this morning, our obedience is revealed through not always getting our way. Our obedience is revealed through not always getting our way. Pain is real, my friends. Suffering is real. It's as if a parent recognizing that if I always give my kids what they want, they will never have an appreciation for what they do have. Or as a parent recognizing that even though they think it's wrong to not grant their request, you know what's on the other side. Randy, if you could come back, please. God wants to heal some people this morning. Look, Jesus losing, according to culture's standards, if he is the king, if he is the Messiah, then why is he on that cross? What the world labeled as a loss, what the world said was not a victory, what the world would say, God, why aren't you answering his request? God, look at his pain, look at his suffering. Look at his tears. With Jesus losing in the world's eyes, we as God's people gained a victory through the cross. Through Jesus' obedience to endure until the end, death suffered its final blow. And there are some of you this morning that you have allowed some unanswered prayers. You've allowed some pain and some suffering to affect your faith, to affect your obedience. But God wants to heal you today. Because in our lives, I can't answer why everything happens. I wish I could, man. I say it all the time. I wish as a pastor, I had a magic wand that I could just wave over people's lives and fix them. Why does God heal one and not another? I can't answer that. But what I can tell you is happy is he who trusts in the Lord. And do not ever let go of your requests before God. Because life will always be filled with unanswered prayers and suffering. Yet through Jesus Christ, we are not bound to feel loss. See, I believe, as I said in the beginning about winning and losing, we gauge too much on the outcome instead of the simple act of obedience. I'm guilty. Because we consider it a loss if we don't see what we thought we should see because we prayed. And because we don't see it, we think we lost. But God used Jesus' suffering to bring a victory. And if we can see that God can use our pain, we all have them. Don't think for one moment there's not a single person in this room. I don't care how young or how old you are. There's not a single one of us in this room that doesn't have a pain in their life. There's not a single person in this room that hasn't had to suffer through some things. But I'm here to tell you today that God can use our pain and he can use our suffering to bring a victory to somebody else's life. See, prayer is a posture of simply coming in line with His will and His ways and not our hopes. I know this is heavy today, but God said in this day and hour, they need the truth. I would love to just give you something that would make you feel good, but I need to give you something that's going to carry you through. Because Romans chapter 12 and verse number 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, we continue in prayer. Seek first the kingdom of God. The posture of prayer is the posture of seeking Him no matter what is happening in the world around and the world within. I am going to continue to pray and seek God. Stay obedient to His word. Stay in faith. Stay believing. Stay acting. Stay faithful. I'm not going to be moved by what I see or hear, because I'm going to be like David, where I can stand in the cave where I'm hiding out because all the enemies are surrounding me, and all I can say is, happy is he that trusts in the Lord. This morning, when life seems to be falling apart, sometimes it's difficult to see God's goodness or even feel that things will get better. But that's when you must use the faith that God has already given you, and by an act of your will, trust Him. Trust Him. Would you stand to your feet this morning? You've been amazing this morning. It's my prayer that God has touched your heart today. If you just close your eyes, I believe the Spirit of God is in this room right now. And I want you to get this picture, if you would. The Bible says that there is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That from the foundation of the world, they were together. And I need you to remember that. And Jesus left heaven on an assignment. And why I can't shake this prayer that he prayed is because Jesus knew exactly why he was where he was. David, on the other hand, was like, pff. But Jesus knew. And yet Jesus still had the faith to just petition God that quite possibly, could we do this another way, God? Because this really stinks. This is really not easy. This is really uncomfortable. This is not something I would wish on my worst enemy. And I cannot shake how Jesus, fully aware of his very God-given purpose, the only reason he is standing on planet Earth in the flesh in that time is so that he could die and suffer a painful death and be the ultimate sacrifice for the sin of humanity so they could be restored back to the Father. And yet he would weep and cry and beg God. My friend, I'm here to tell you today that God knows what you're going through. He understands your pain. He understands your suffering. This world is full of sin, sickness, and death. And ever since them clowns ate that apple in the garden, we suffer the consequences. They're not really clowns, but you know what I mean. It's like, how many of you are mad at them for eating the apple? Yeah, me too. We could all be living a different life. But our hope is not in this moment. Our hope is in what we get after this life. And all of your pain, and all of your suffering, and all of your heartache, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. And don't stop walking. Because God is carrying you through. Look at how He has carried you through. Some of the most painful seasons of your life, God carried you through. I watch how God is carrying people through right now, through impossible situations. But He is faithful to give us the grace and the mercy and the faith to continue to walk. Do not be moved. Father, I pray today. God, there are some people in this room. They're hurting. I feel it today. A heaviness in their heart. A heaviness in their spirit. They've allowed unanswered prayers. They've allowed pain. They've allowed suffering to hinder their growth, hinder their faith, hinder their obedience. But God, You are a healer. And You are a confirmer of Your word. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if this message has spoke to your heart today, I believe God wants to touch you today. Lord, I'm just waiting for direction. Just stay in this moment. God is touching somebody today. Thank You, Lord. If that's you, just a wave of a hand. Say, Pastor, that's me today. Thank You, thank You. Thank You all over. Thank You. God bless You. God bless You. God bless You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't move from this moment. Just I feel like this is the word for somebody, because God just said somebody in here has a bad attitude. It's a really bad attitude. And it affects relationships, but really it's because you're mad at God. And here's what He told me. To give you this analogy, when I was a kid, I got told no a lot, with no explanation. And that was their right, just like I tell my kids no. But it created a frustration. And that is you today. You feel like God has told you no, or a door is closed, a situation, and you know you come to church and you sit, but you just got this wall up. And this is just between you and God. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to tell you to come up here, because I believe that this is a moment where God is just taking a sledgehammer to some bricks in your life. And this anger has affected everything you do. And you keep blaming other people. Everything is everybody else's fault. Because the lens that you're looking through is a lens that is so frustrated and maybe hurt. So God, today I pray, whoever that is, Holy Spirit, you're speaking to their heart right now. God, I pray that your healing virtue would flow through their lives right now. That they would be transformed from the inside out. Father, that you would give them the joy of the Lord once again. God, that they would be able to stand and declare happy, blessed, because I trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Raise your hands to heaven this morning. Father, we offer to you our hearts. Our lives. And God, today we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is healing. Your word is divine. Your word is strength to the very marrow of our being. And so, Father, this morning, God, I thank you for a healing and a peace that is coming to each and every one of our hearts. God, that our posture would not change because of what we go through. But God, that we would pick our heads up. God, that we would walk by faith in a new way today. So God, it is my prayer today that as we leave this moment, that this moment wouldn't leave us. But throughout this day and this week, Father, I pray that you would begin to open our eyes to things that maybe we have allowed to hinder our faith and our growth and our obedience. God, I pray that you would arrest our hearts, that we would return back to that place of passion and fire and zeal for the things of you. Because our world needs Jesus like never before. So, Father, I pray today that we would not stop and we would not relent until we see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Can we give God some praise this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.